Turn open to Mark chapter 7. We're going to start just at verse 25. Right in the kind of the middle of Jesus moving around through the land. But Mark 7:25 says, "For a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him," of Jesus, "and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek. Now, if you looked at other translations, you would see she was a Gentile. Or as the Jews would have called her, she was a Goy. G-O-Y. When they talk about a group of Goy, they call them Goyim. The Goyim. The woman was a Gentile. She was a Greek. A Syro-Phoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. I got to tell you, what Jesus said to her would have separated a lot of you. Probably you would have just left the church right at that time. But listen to what Jesus said in the 27th verse. Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs." Now, that's not too... not too politically correct. And certainly the veil was pretty easy to see through on what he was saying here, right? And obviously there was a... Actually, it was very politically correct among the Jews, because they considered... That's what they considered. They considered if you were of the Gentiles, you were dogs. Jesus said this not because he believed it, but because it was a popular statement at the time. He knew better, obviously, because God so loved what? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son. No, he did this for a very specific reason. Now, we know that the story was that Jesus, that the woman went ahead, and you can go ahead and read it, but just, you know, for the sake of time, maybe. The woman said, "It's true, Lord, but even dogs eat the crumbs that fall on the floor from the children's table." And Jesus said something that was amazing. He said, "Woman, great is your faith. I've not seen faith like yours. This is tremendous faith." And I think if you begin to understand this, what is going on and what's being said, you'll understand that there's something very, very powerful going on here that is deeper than what we've heard. We understand that faith is an operation, and that's good. We've told the story. I've taught faith out of this. But there's something even more important to get out of this. And I believe it's the basis of God's truth. What is the children's bread? The Word. What else? You said Word, Torah?
Doesn't it mean the children's bread?
Healing. I really believe that the healing, but by the same token, the Word is accurate because he sent his Word to heal us. What I intend for us to begin to understand is that healing has been given a place among the church nowadays, where healing has a place that's kind of, if God wishes to, he may. How many of you have heard that? God could heal if he wants to. There's nobody argues about God's ability. If you believe in God at all, you know he's able. Say able. He's able. But there's something much more important that comes out of this when we start calling it the children's bread. And he taught this. He said, "What father among you would, if his child asked for bread, would give him stones?" It's the Father's will to give good things to his children. Say good things. He wants to give bread to them. So what we're going to get into here is the will of God. The will of God. God's will is healing. It's healing for the spirit, healing for the soul, and healing for the body. When we talk about healing, We're not just talking about getting one thing fixed. We're talking about shalom. Say shalom. Thank you very much. I'll receive that. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. And when it's spoken to a person, we should always speak it with meaning. We should never just use it as a greeting. It should always be with meaning. Shalom, shalom. That's perfect peace, perfect shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And there's power in our words. When we speak words, there's power in those words. This woman had come, a Gentile woman. A woman, when we talk about a Gentile, what does that indicate? Somebody help me.
They're unclean, they're heathens.
Unsaved, they're heathens.
Unclean.
Unclean. What else? By the way, it may not be politically correct, but we're talking about most of ourselves, right? As far as we know, I think there's, is anybody here know you're Jewish? You know there's some Jewish in you, huh? See, most of us don't really have a way of knowing. And, you know, let me tell you very quickly, it makes absolutely no difference to your salvation. But God did have a special plan for the Jews. A very special plan for them. In fact, the gospel came to them first. First to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. The good news. The good news. How many of you know what Jesus did when he went around? What does the Bible say Jesus did as he ministered? What did he do as he went from place to place? The Bible says it a couple times about him.
He healed.
Okay, he healed.
Doing good and healing all that were oppressed.
He did good and healed all that were oppressed among them. Another place says he went about teaching and preaching and healing the sick. You talked about the word. The word is so critical to healing. Now, here's the old false way of looking at this is that, well, we know God can heal. Certainly God can heal. If he wants to heal you, Bart, you may get healed, but only if he wants to, because people will pray this way and think they're praying in a special way. They'll say, Lord, please heal if it be your will. Well, that sounds humble. That sounds like you're being contrite, but I want to tell you that the prayer of faith is not to be a prayer of contrition.
It's really a prayer of unbelief. Because
certainly it
is.
Because you
don't believe that God's going to do it, so you leave the back door.
That's right.
You don't look bad, and God doesn't look bad.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's leaving room, so and it's not to save God face, it's to save you face, in case God doesn't heal, right? But the point is, when God doesn't heal, there are different reasons than his will. What does God respond to? You mean he doesn't respond to my needs? No. Now I know that sounds new to some of you, but God doesn't respond to your needs. Sometimes people say, well, Lord, can't, David said it. Lord, can't you see what's going on in my life? It's awful. People are treating me horrible. Oh, just see and judge them. That's just murmuring and complaining. Of course, the Lord sees it. But he doesn't respond to your needs. He responds to your trust, to your faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Say impossible.
Impossible.
You cannot please God without faith. So, as Kim said, when we stop with a prayer that says, Lord, if it be your will, heal, when the will of God is, and this is what we're going through here today, is that the will of God's in the Word of God. We can go through the Word of God, and, you know, it's amazing how much of the Word of God is filled with God's will to heal. This Torah is filled with his will to heal. Right in the Torah. Right in the beginning of the word. In fact, in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, the Lord said to Moses and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. How many of you know that the people of Israel had just seen a lot of disease on the Egyptians? What did they see? Well, they saw boils. They saw emrods. They saw tumors. They saw all kinds of sickness, didn't they? And then they saw the death of the firstborn. But God says, none of those will be allowed on you. For, he makes a statement then, for I am Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. When you see Lord all in capital letters like that, it means I am Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh God, that healeth thee. We have it, I believe, over here. Yahweh Rapha. Even as big as they are, I don't see them. But yeah, it's over. No, it's over here. Right up here. Yahweh. Which it would be Raphaka, the way that spells out. Yahweh Raphaka. The Efecha on the end of it means to you or yours. Your healer. So this is the Lord who healeth thee. The Lord your healer. The Lord your healer. Now he told them this clear back in Torah. Say Torah. The instruction of God, which is also known as the covenant at Sinai. Now we know the covenants, and this is what we're going to get into today. Covenants are the way that God teaches his will. His covenants. His covenants. Someone said one time, is there anything God can't do? Yes. There's something God can't do. He can't break his covenants. When God gives his word, he can't change. If God changed, he would no longer be God. God is always the same. He said, I am Yahweh, I change not. And so he started out in the Garden of Eden, speaking to Adam. And we call these covenants the Adamic covenant. We call them the Edenic covenant. We call them the Noahic covenant. We call them the Sinai covenant, right, to the children of Israel. And then, there's the Abrahamic covenant. I missed one after Noah. Abrahamic covenant. Then there's actually a Davidic covenant after the Torah. But there are different covenants that God makes down through the ages. And people, as they are prone to do, take all of these and have them standing alone by themselves. What we know as we study these, many theologians don't agree with me on this, by the way, but as you study this, you can see that God never takes anything away from his covenants from the beginning one. They just keep getting better. As the covenants go along, the covenants just get better and better and better and better and better. Amen. Until finally, we live in an age when God has given us the Berit, that's covenant, Harashah, that's the renewed covenant. Literally means renewed. We call it the New Testament. I heard a Jew saying the other day, people kept talking to him about the Old Testament. He said, didn't make sense to me, I only had one. He said, this is the Bible to me, but they kept talking about the Old Testament. Oh, you have the Old Testament. He said, no, I have the Bible. He said, I didn't understand that. Well, we've messed ourselves up by believing that there's an old Bible and a new Bible. It's all God's Bible. There's the Torah was the foundation. And then there was the Nevi'im, the prophets, who talked about those things which were to come and those things that were happening. And then there were the Ketuvim, the writings, which are Psalms and Proverbs. Daniel, for some reason, is in the Ketuvim. But those are the writings. And actually, you've got Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, and that's an anagram for what? Tanakh. It's a Tanakh. That's the three parts of the what we call the older covenant. Now, God has given us through Jesus Christ what is known as the Berit Hadashah, the new covenant. And the new covenant, the Bible says about it, is a better covenant established upon better promises than these. So do you see what I'm saying? It's come along and improved and improved and improved and improved. But looking clear back into the covenant that God made with the children of Israel at Sinai, he tells them, I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. That's part of his covenant to them. Say covenant.
Covenant.
Remember in Malachi again, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. So none of the covenants have ever been done away with. Now there are things that have been fulfilled in the Torah. There are things that are totally fulfilled in there. Yeshua fulfilled them for us. The law of sin and death. You read about that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The law of sin and death has been fulfilled and taken away from us by the blood of Yeshua, who became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Now I'm saying all of that to get to some things about the covenants of God. God's covenants. God's salvation. Say salvation. Salvation. God's salvation. Well, salvation literally means to deliver. That's what it means. Jesus' name means to deliver or save. God saves. God delivers. God makes whole. It's everything. So when we start talking about it, and here again, people are prone to do things. We divide things up. Well, the Lord saves us, and the Lord heals us, and the Lord prospers us. Well, actually, he does them all through the blood of Yeshua. Every bit of that is accomplished through the same sacrifice. What is oftentimes called the atonement. The atonement. And I kind of don't use it a lot in the time in which we live, because the atonement was a covering for sin. What Yeshua did for us went so far beyond covering. Because once he covered, then he sent our sins away, and the Bible said he remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he sent our sins away from us. Amen? That's good, isn't it? That's good. So we're talking about a God whose will is to heal. He's willing. He's willing. He's willing. Let me give you a few scriptures. And we're not going to be long on this today. We're kind of just getting it started. But I really believe what's going to happen. As we who are being led by the Spirit now, we've been studying this, went through 15 lessons. 15 different teachings on being led by the Spirit of God. And somebody said, yeah, there's a lot of repetition in them. That's the way we learn. We learn by repetition. How many of you know that? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And faith doesn't come by having heard. A lot of people think, oh, I heard that. You know, my mother-in-law, she's interesting to me, you know. She gets my CDs, and I think sometimes she listens to them four or five times. Four or five times she listens to those same CDs. Well, she's smart. That's the way you get it. You get the word by hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And it's not just by preaching it, but that's the way you get it, is by the hearing of the word. And here's some of it. Psalm 145, verse 8, says, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. Oh, that's a big statement, and we just go by it real quick. We say gracious, and gracious has kind of got a social meaning nowadays. Oh, they're certainly gracious. But it's way beyond gracious. What does gracious mean? Full of grace. Full of grace, all right. Well, what does grace mean?
Yeah, what we don't deserve.
Yeah, unmerited favor.
That's right. It's getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve, right? And grace literally has a link to the word favor. Say favor.
Favor.
Favor is a powerful word. If you have the favor of God, you have everything. God favors you. You're his favorite. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need to think about that. Gracious, then, if grace is favor, then gracious means disposed to show it. disposed to show favor. So the Lord is disposed to show favor, and he is full of compassion. Compassion. We need to think about that word just a little bit. He's full of compassion. What's compassion? I could give you the Hebrew word, but it doesn't make it much deeper. But it has to do with that womb love that we've talked about. The womb love. How many know that people say, you know, that have had children, they can't explain it, but when they have a child, how instantly something changes in the way they feel. They didn't know they could love as much as they do. They didn't know as much that they could be as sacrificial as they are. Something amazing happens. So the Lord is disposed to show favor, and he's full of compassion. That's from the inner, the very depth. Slow to anger. God is slow to anger and of great mercy. Verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. Suppose that all would include Gentiles? Absolutely. Absolutely. God's plan with the Jews was to make them a lighthouse so the Gentiles could see and come in. Did you know that? That was the plan. And the Jews ran from God. And only the Levites stayed. And the Levites took over the job of all of the children of Israel. And so the Jews then suddenly became selfish about what God was giving them, and they didn't want to share it anymore. It's our Torah, they said. We want the Torah. And so for a big part of our lives, for certainly most of mine, I believe that the Torah was for the Jews. I thought the Torah was the law. That's what I thought. Until God opened my eyes to the fact that the Torah is his foundation and his instruction for all mankind. But the Jews hid it away. And even today, there are Jewish congregations that are very upset that Gentile congregations have Torah and practice Torah. They get upset about it. They don't like that at all. But the Bible says the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Everything he made. Humankind, all the animal kingdom, even the plants and all of the other things that he made. His tender mercies are over all of his works. So I want you to see a picture of God. See, this is how you get the understanding of covenant when you see what he's like and how he looks at us. How does he look at you? You said it this morning, John. How does God look at us?
We are covered over in robes of righteousness.
Yeah, that's right. Covered over in robes of righteousness. Those who believe, but let's go out to unbelievers now. How does God look at unbelievers? You know, how do you look at them? Don't say scum. But people do, I've got to tell you. What?
He leaves the 99 to go get the one.
That's right. One lost one is enough for him to leave 99 and go out hunting for the one that's lost.
You just said something very interesting when you said, how do you look at them? And as you were reading this and we were going over the scriptures, like the Lord said, I'm in you. And this is how you are to be to everyone.
That's right.
And that's that power. And his tender mercies were over all of his work. We are his work.
That's right.
And it should flow through us in that love.
Amen.
And that mercy and that compassion, because that is the love.
Amen.
What does it say? What of hope, faith, and love abideth? But what is the greatest of these? It's that love.
That's right. That's right. And this is where the message is going. That we are to be the instruments of this healing. That's the job of us. We are the ones that are supposed to be spreading this around. The world doesn't know this. Did you know that? The world doesn't know that the Lord is gracious. Most of the world thinks God's maybe going to get them. He's angry. But God's not angry. Jesus took the anger. That's right. For a season, he was angry with Jesus. Till Jesus paid. And why was he angry with Jesus? Because Jesus took all of our sins in his own body. So all of the anger was focused on him. That's why he spent 3 days in hell. But hell couldn't hold him because he was a perfect sacrifice. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so God doesn't look at us like we look at people so many times, and yet Kim's got the answer there. God so loved the world, but God's in me. So if the spirit man, remember, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. If the spirit man is controlling you, you're going to love the world. You need to practice this. I say you need to practice this because you also have a soul. And your soul isn't this. Your soul thinks things like scum. Your soul is where people get called turkeys that you meet and other things worse.
Or that judgment, if they're just suffering their consequence of bad decisions. Or
that's right. They made their bed. That's right. That's right.
It says that faith works by love.
That's right.
Love is kind of a product of faith.
That's right.
But faith works by love. And as we're showing that love, our faith grows greater.
Amen.
I think it's kind of like a fuel thing.
That's exactly right.
Faith
in fact,
works by love.
A perpetual motion machine.
So if you're not doing that, yeah, your faith isn't going to grow.
That's right.
Well, if I just had the faith, or if I just believed, or if I could just, are you doing acts of loving kindness? Are you showing that love to other people? And that causes it to grow. That's how it works. That's what the book says.
That's right. That's right. Becky?
Well, in that whole compassion thing, you're not moved to compassion for somebody whose life is perfect and nothing is wrong. It's all about seeing something that is broken.
Everything's wrong. Yeah, that's right. Compassion. Right. Remember we were talking about Gentiles? In the understanding that many have of what Gentile means, it means pagan, without God, and confused. Now, that's not very lovely. Pagan, without God, and confused. But God does love the unlovely, and we are all testimony to that fact. Those of us who are born again and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior are here because God loved the unlovely. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. Amen. That's right. And even when we blow it miserably after we're sinners, He still loves us. He's not out to get you. He's out to fix you. Amen. He wants to fix what's wrong. Now, remember we're talking shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Healing is not just a physical thing. Healing is a mental thing. Healing had to happen in your spirit before you could be born again. Something had to happen. And so when we look at God and we see Him, the attitude of God, this whole plan of His atonement and reconciliation of man included the whole man. Say the whole man. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. That's my whole man. He wants it all well. He wants it all redeemed. He wants it all functioning properly. Amen. In Psalm 103, the psalmist, David, got this. The Psalm of David is Psalm 103, verse 1. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." How many of you believe that maybe when he says all his benefits, he's going to talk about the covenant benefits of God? That's what he's talking about. The benefits of God are by covenant. You take a job with somebody, that's one of the things you usually ask them. What's my responsibility? What are my benefits, right? What will I be expected to do and what are the benefits? Well, God sets up a covenant with us. And he said, if you'll listen to my word, walk according to my word, hear me, be led by me, then all of the things that are covenant benefits will be yours too, right? And that's what David's talking about here. David says, don't forget. Now, why do you suppose he said, don't forget all his benefits? Because we forget them.
We look more at the problem and that pressure.
That's right.
And not that finished.
That's right. And besides that, you don't have to. Listen now. You don't have to remember all God's benefits because we've got the U.S. government. Right?
Exactly.
Well, now you, I know that sounds terrible, but it's a fact. We've got our pension plan. We've got Medicare. Wouldn't it be something if we went to God first? I'm not down on all these things, although I have to tell you that anybody could have done it better than the government does it. Really. It was never supposed to be the government's job to take care of all of your social needs. Taxes are to build roads. Amen. Deliver your mail. And defend your borders. That's what government ought to do. Then the people ought to take care of things. And the church. Say the church. The church should be taking care of people. That's the way God saw it. People take care of people. The Jews have this pretty good. I'll tell you what. It's amazing. I was reading Eliezer Urbach's book, Out of the Fury. And did you notice how, if they got in terrible trouble, what'd they look for? Another Jew. Because they understood that Jews would take care of Jews. Do their best. If they had anything, they'd share it. Well, that's the way it should be in the church. What's that?
It's still like that too.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is. That's right. Definitely is. And it's definitely part of the teaching. That's that tzedakah that we got back there. Tzedakah. The box means good deeds. But really it just means righteousness. Yeah, but it's acts of love. That's what it is. That's what it's about. But I want you to notice now, he says he has a lot of benefits, but we're prone to forget them. Because we got other places we can go. Other things to look to. Think about it. When was the last time you had a physical malady? What was the first thing you thought about?
Go to the doctor.
Get some medicine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need something. In fact, we usually have to tell somebody right away so we can get, first thing we need, sympathy, right? Get me some sympathy. I'm feeling bad. But what should we do? Paul told Timothy, he says, I will that men pray, first of all. First of all, pray. Seek God. Look to Him. Who's your source? Who does it right? Who does it without expense? Doesn't cost a thing when He does it. It cost Jesus a lot, but it didn't cost us anything. He goes ahead and he says, don't forget Him. Because there's going to be all other kinds of substitutes. Substitutes. And in this age, we you know, people talk about healing anymore. You're kind of thought to be a religious fanatic. God the healer. God's our healer. Number one. He's first place healer. He's the one that heals us first of all. He's the one we go to. When we have any problems, we go to Him first. We look to Him. David goes ahead and says, don't forget these benefits. Then he begins to enumerate. Who forgives all your iniquities. That was the number one thing we all needed, wasn't it? To be forgiven of our sin. Who, what's the second thing?
Healeth
all thy diseases. He heals all your sicknesses. Anything that comes upon you. Who redeems thy life from destruction. How many of you know that that's where all of our lives were headed? Mm-hmm. To destruction. To a bad place. But then it goes on and it says he doesn't just get you out of it. Then he crowns you. He crowns you with loving kindness and with tender mercies.
That's the gracious part.
You like that?
That's the gracious part.
The gracious part. That's right. Amen. Finally it says he satisfies. Say satisfies.
Satisfies.
Does God is He enough to satisfy you? God satisfies. He satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That's powerful. Now, this is a picture. It's not the covenant itself, but it's a summary of the covenant that God had with Israel. This is still stuff that's back in the time of the Torah covenant. All right? Remember, the covenant just keep getting better. They keep getting better. Now, Isaiah 53 talks about this again. In fact, this talks about how it was all set up for us. Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground." This is talking about Messiah. "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." What that's saying to all of us is that the Messiah's attraction wasn't outward. I don't believe in any way it means that he was homely or anything like that. It's just that the attraction that he had, you know, when he went, people, great multitudes followed him. The attraction was not an outward attraction, but an inward attraction. But it says there's no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, he wasn't the most handsome guy on the block that everybody went after because he was just movie star handsome, right? Might have been good looking, but that doesn't have anything to do with why people followed him. Then it says, he is despised. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. When's that talking about? When does this verse fulfill? When he was crucified, right? During the time of his sacrifice. I don't know how many of you saw the Passion of Christ. That's one thing he probably captured pretty well. Although the Scripture says that when he hung on the cross, he no longer looked like a human. And if you stop and think about the fact that he took our sicknesses and sins in his own body on the tree, all of our sicknesses, think about what some sicknesses do to human bodies today. You know, think about the deformities that come, some of the birth defects. Well, Yeshua took all of those in his own body. And so I believe when the Scripture says he no longer was recognizable as man, that's the reason. Because he had taken all this sickness upon him. We esteemed him not. You can remember that people were there around the foot of the cross crying and weeping, and he was hard to look at, wasn't he, at that time? But listen to what verse 4 tells us about this situation. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." That's right, "and carried our sorrows." That Hebrew word for griefs is chuli, chuli, which means disease, our griefs, our disease and our sickness. He has carried our diseases and our sickness and carried our sorrows. And that's makov. Makov means anguish and speaks of pain and affliction. So it said, surely he's carried our sickness, or he's borne our sickness and carried our pains. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." People would look at him and say, well, you know, that's what they did, wasn't it? If he's calling for Elijah to come and save him, let's see if God will send Elijah to come and save him. Remember that when he was on the cross? But it's explaining here. You weren't seeing what was really happening, because then verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Every sin that mankind has ever committed was upon him. Every sin that will ever be committed was upon him. He was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, King James makes this a little hard. Well, in fact, all translations seem to make this a little harder to understand than it should be. The chastisement of our peace, or what we could say is the chastisement that makes us whole. That's what it was. The chastisement that was really for us, that we would have had to have taken, this chastisement makes us whole. and it was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So this was included in the sacrifice for sin, for separation, for brokenness, right? All of these things were included in that sacrifice. Now, the Bible, as we come into the time of the newer or the renewed covenant, takes this same scripture and says this is part of the new and greater covenant. The covenant that will last forever. Amen? They've all built up to this one. It's all come to this place. It just gets better and better and better. And then, you remember when Yeshua was on the earth? That right away, very soon after he began his ministry, he went one night in Capernaum to Peter's house. And while he was at Peter's house, it says, when the even was come, Matthew 8:16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now this is the Messiah himself exercising in this, but still under the terms of the former covenants. Why? Because the blood of the new covenant has not yet been shed, right? But then they, what are they quoting? They're quoting right out of Isaiah 53. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. If you look back at Isaiah 53:4, it says it a little different words. He hath borne our griefs, or our diseases, and carried our pains. But it's the same thing. That's what they're quoting from right at that point. Now let's come right on over to the after the cross. Actually, that's where the great dividing line is, isn't it? After the cross, before the cross. Now after the cross, we have this word. It says, who his own self, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. I don't believe there's any accident that that becomes past tense there, do you? You were healed. If you were healed, then tell me about your present situation. If I were, then I are, right? If I was, then I is, right? If I were healed, then I am healed. Now, let's stop for a second, because this is where the big problem comes up. We've got that which we perceive with our natural mind and that which our spirit knows. My spirit knows I'm healed. So every time an affliction comes, every time sickness comes, and it comes knocking on the door. You remember Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door. Well, I want you to know the devil's knocking on the door, and a lot of times, if you don't open, he'll just burst in, won't he? But he's trying to get you to take. Remember the scripture says, the thief goeth not, cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. And the Bible likens him to as a roaring lion going about seeking whom? Seeking whom?
He may devour.
Who tells him if he may or not? He may not devour me. Amen. That's a choice. Whom he may, who will allow. Now, sickness and disease. Now, why am I telling you all of this? I want you all to know it for your own sake. Did you know that the vast majority of the church right now just gives in to sickness? The vast majority lays back for the vast majority waits for a little sickness so they can rest. Lay down. I need a few days off. I'm going to tell you something. We put ourselves in a bad place way below what God has for us, but God says we do not have to allow sickness and disease. We don't have to allow it. Now, let me stop very quickly and tell you I'm not against anybody who's battling sickness and disease. We are all at different levels and areas in our faith, in our trust. We're learning this stuff, but I want you to grow in it. I want this to be something so that the next time you wake up with a tickle in your throat, you don't say, I'm taking a cold. Because that's an invitation. I want you to stand up and say, no, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I'll not take this. I'll not have it. Through the years, I want you to know that I have really grown in this area. It didn't start out that way. I battled like crazy right at first. I heard Andrew Womack tell about spending all night crawling around on the floor praying because he was so weak. But he had made up his mind he was going to believe God, going to trust God. And I believe you can do that. Amen. I believe you can do that. I believe it's time for us to do that. But not just so we can go around and brag and say, look at me, look how well I am, look how healthy I am, I've done it, I've got it figured out. No, so that we can go around and say, what I have, you can have too. So that we can go and say, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Amen. Come and dine. Come and dine. The children's bread is healing. God wants you well. God has planned for you to live a well life. I remember years ago, must have been back in the late 60s. I know it had to be. There was a minister, a Presbyterian minister, who had caught hold of this. And he was already toward the end of his ministry at the time, and he just happened to pastor the oldest Presbyterian congregation in the United States. And I can't remember exactly where it was. It was New England someplace. But he pastored that church. And he caught hold of the Word of God, that it's God's will. And listen, this comes this way. You hear it, and first time you hear it, you may say, I don't get it. But if you'll continue to go over it and study it and listen and hear it, pretty soon it'll become yours. It'll become yours. And it became Pastor Brown. That was his name. Brown. And I remember Pastor Brown saying he was teaching people about that God wants you well. And he said, one of the members of my congregation came up to me and said, well, Pastor Brown, don't you know that we all must die? And he says, yes, my dear sister, we must all die, but let's die well. Let's die well. Amen? Die well. There'll come a time when it's time for you to go. And by the way, I don't believe God calls you when it's your time. I believe you decide when you're satisfied. I believe that's really the key. When you decide that your work is done and you're satisfied, you say, why do you say that? Not just because Pastor Terry believes it, but because the Bible says, with long life, Psalm 91, with long life will he satisfy them and show them his salvation. But when you come to the end of your road and the end of your time, I believe you can get weary and go early. I believe you can get weary and go home early. But you see, we're talking about a church that is victorious, a church that's filled with the glory of God, a church that believes that God wants people well. And so without going out and browbeating people, we go out and demonstrate. Amen? We demonstrate that God wants them well. Let me say this about healing. Most people look at healing as a prayer line. You know, you get a bunch of people together and you pray over them and you ask God to heal them, and then certain ones get healed and certain ones don't. I really don't believe that that's the big plan. Now, it happened at times in Jesus' ministry, but I think over all of your life, there's going to be more times it's going to be one-on-one. More times when you're just going to be talking with somebody. You're going to be talking with them. They're going to start sharing with you. As Becky said, they're going to start sharing, I'm broken. I've got problems. I have needs. And you're going to begin to just minister love to them. You're not going to beat them over the head and say, don't you know the Word of God says? No, just lovingly, you're going to tell them, look, I have some really good news to talk to you about.
I think that's part of what he's talking about, though, too, in Psalms, when he says he satisfies your mouth with good things.
That's right.
It's not just eating things.
That's right.
It's not forgetting his benefits.
Nope.
Not forgetting what he's done.
Right.
Not forgetting we're crowned with loving kindness, and those good things are the things that are in our mouth then.
That come out.
Coming out. Out.
That's
not
right.
Not just satisfying enough, and it renews our strength.
That's right. You know, that's right. That's right. The proverb says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in frames of silver. And isn't that true? Mm-hmm. Those things that we say, and what does it go back to? Being led
by the Spirit.
Not just, listen, you know, these things where people lay out a criteria about this is the way you do it, forget that stuff. I say forget that stuff. The only way to live this life is to live it in the Spirit and let God lead you from moment to moment, time to time. I see with my Father, Jesus said, and I do what I see Him doing. I hear with my Father, and I speak what I hear Him say. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So, what we're talking about is, number one, getting this revelation of the Word of God on the inside of us. God wants people well.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times the response to people is just, I feel sorry for you. Well, that doesn't do much, does it? But when you begin to give forth the Word of God in love, at the right time, you know, everybody's not able to get this right away. But I'll tell you what. There's a lot of healing to be ministered, and we've seen a lot of people made well because of it. Some of you wouldn't be here today if God hadn't healed you. I'm among you. I'd have been dead if God hadn't healed me, but God healed me. Kept me here for this hour. As we continue to talk about this completed work of the covenant of redemption, you'll have deeper understanding. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is going to lead you more and more into a healing ministry. Every one of us. You say, well, that would, I've heard of Oral Roberts. I've heard of these great healing events. I'm talking that I believe this is the way the church is supposed to act. Amen? Not in tents. We don't have to set up a tent meeting to do it. But wherever you are, who you work with, who you deal with, who you sit beside when you're waiting for your driver's license. Amen? Opportunities to talk to people.
And remember, healing. Sometimes when we think of healing, we think of, you know, some physical malady. No. It's also those mental anguishes,
Absolutely.
Emotional anguishes.
Amen.
And that even that when God has us moving in those things, then the physical manifestation is right there too.
Amen.
And look at the wholeness, right? We are a spirit. We have a soul. We have a body. So that healing is for that whole.
Whole man. That's right. And really, it's from the midst of you where it comes from. This is another problem. Here's what we think a lot of times is we're going to be. By the way, for you as believers, you're supposed to just walk in this.
Mm-hmm.
In the knowledge and understanding. You shouldn't be looking for people to lay hands on you. That's not what's needed most of the time. Most of the time, you just walk in it, confess it, so say it, believe it. But for those round about us, by the way, the Syrophoenician woman had already come past a lot of Christians. Because she already understood. She already understood. So did the centurion. The centurion already understood all they needed was a word. And the healing was accomplished. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise God. Kept you long enough for today, but I hope you're getting this. And do you see that by knowing and understanding and having it deeply ingrained in you, it will cause you to be a healing minister to others? Can you see that? If you really have it deep inside of you, that's the way it'll be. And we really believe that around here, that every saint's a minister. This is not something that you shouldn't ever even think like this. Well, if I could just get them over and get the church to pray for them. No, no. They don't have to come to church to be prayed for. You can do it. You can believe with them.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly what you want to do is get them to receive the word. The number one and best way to be healed is just by taking the word and saying, I believe it, I trust it. Just like that Syrophoenician woman, she says, I just believe that if I just had a crumb, it would be enough.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that you bestow upon us. We thank you for the covenant, the renewed covenant, which is a covenant of healing, Lord God. And we receive today with thanksgiving this good bread that you've given us, this healing that is the children's bread. We receive it and thank you for it. Lord, we're going to chew on it. We're going to take it into our bodies and be sustained and build up by it. Each one of us is going to grow thereby and become strong ministers of the gospel to those round about us. We thank you for it and praise you for it in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Just lift your hands in the air for a moment. Just put your hands right straight up in the air. I know it may seem strange. You may not do it in your church, but do it anyhow. Say, just hold them up there and get ready to receive. Iva rekaka Adonai vayishmareka. Yair Adonai panavaleka vikaneka. Yise Adonai panavaleka yasem lacha shalom. And now Yahweh bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Yahweh will lift you up in the light of his countenance and give you his shalom.